big responsibility at home as well. It's not just at the church, it's our whole life. I want to remind you tonight that Paul wrote to the church of Colossae and said, "In Christ who is our life." I don't want you ever to forget that the Christian life is not a life to pick up and lay down, to pick up and lay down. You pick it up on Sunday but Christ who is our life. He is our life, period. Christ is our life. And by Christ being our life, then what we do matters to everyone around us. I am to exemplify Christ in every way. In my walk, in my talk, at work, at play, at church, at home, it don't matter where it's at. If I go out of state, I'm to be the same as I am here. If I go to another church and preach or visit, I'm to be the same there as I am here. I'm supposed to be the same. Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you say, yeah, well that's talking about his eternal being. And but Christ liveth in me. When will we get a handle on it? That Christ lives in us. And that we exemplify Christ in everything we do. In everything we do, it either puts Christ up or it brings Christ down. It does one or the other. It's either a testimony for Him or against Him. We're either for Him or against Him. I believe Jesus even said, if we're not gathering, we're scattering. There's no middle ground. There's no recess in the Christian life. They're about to school getting ready. There's no recess. There's no break. There's no time out. You know, I worked in the plant all them years, and I reckon by law, certain ways you work, after so many hours work, you're supposed to have so many minutes break. And that's the way he had it set. We'd start at 6:30, you have a break at 9 till 9:15, you work till 11:30, you had a 30-minute lunch, and then you work till 2 o'clock, you had a 15-minute break, and then you work till 5 o'clock. And that's the way it was every day. Well, that's not like it is in the Christian life. You don't get a break. You don't get a lunchtime that you can relax and prop your feet up and say, well, I'm not a Christian right now. I'm not showing forth Christ right now. That's not the way it is. Do I understand that? If you're saved, you're a Christian all the time. If you're a Christian ever, you're a Christian all the time, either a good one or a bad one. But you're a Christian all the time. Think about that. And we need to get that in our mind. Now, I want that in your mind for the message tonight. There's a lot of songs that we can relate to. I appreciate all the singing tonight, all the songs. Every one they sung is my favorite, and the ones they didn't sing is my favorite. And the ones that everybody other singing group sings, they're my favorite. They didn't sing them, but they're my favorite. And the one that Jerry's learning is going to be my favorite. I feel it right now. All the congregation songs. I enjoy church. Church is my life, not because I'm a preacher. I went to church before I was a preacher. I give my life to the Lord before I was a preacher. I made commitments to the Lord before I was ever a preacher. That if the doors was open. See, maybe this is, and I've said this before, maybe this is where we have problems. We're all the time trying to decide things. I don't do that. I look at a menu if I go to a restaurant, but I pretty well know what I want when I go there. You know, if I go to a steakhouse, I'm not ordering chicken. Everybody know that? Everybody understand that? If I go to a steakhouse, I want a good bloody steak. That's what I want. I want a good medium rare steak. I want a potato the size of a football. I want a whole 5-pound biscuit. I know what I want when I go there. All right? But I made a decision. I'd already been saved, but when I decided that I was going to serve the Lord, that He was going to have all of me. I wasn't a preacher. But I decided on Sunday morning that I would be in church. On Sunday night, I would be on church. Midweek service, I would be in church. Now, it don't matter where I'm on vacation. It don't matter if I'm been somewhere. On Sundays, I go to church. On Sunday nights, I go to church. On Wednesdays, I go to church. If they change it to Tuesdays and Thursdays, I used to go to church on Tuesdays, college prayer meeting, and Thursdays, church prayer meeting. Right? I mean, that's just the way it was. Everybody understand that? Somewhere, we've got to decide and make some decisions for Christ, and then forget it. Don't worry about it. Just make them and go on, and let that be our decision. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read my King James Bible. There's no other. That decision's been. I don't make that every day. I don't get up and say, should I read today? That's what we do. I wonder, do I need anything to pray about today? Well, I can pray and never be done. These are decisions don't have to be made. All right. To be nice to you. Listen, I'm supposed to be nice to you whether I want to be or not. Am I not? Huh? I need to have that in my decision making that I'm going to be nice to you whether you need it or not. Now, Jared came in tonight and I was sitting back here talking, minding my own business, talking to Elijah and Matt, and Jared in all his naughtiness and ways grabbed me by the back of the neck and held on. And y'all, everybody knows I'm jumpy. He knows I'm jumpy. He knows it was going to scare me. He knows it. And he had me paralyzed and I couldn't move. And I said, how are you? He said, well, I'm doing better than I deserve. I said, boy, there's not truer words spoken. Because he should have died right there when he done that. That was my feelings toward him. But y'all understand what I'm saying tonight. There's decisions that we shouldn't have to make every moment and every day. When it comes to praising the Lord, tell me a day that he ain't done something for you. That if when you find that day, then that's the day you don't have to praise him. Tell me a day when he changes. That whatever day that he's not God, then you don't have to worry about him that day. See, that's what they sing. There's never a time. When are we going to get that in our head that everything is supposed to be constant? And the reason that we're having problems in our world, in our country, in our town, and even in our church is because we're not constant. We're not constant. And it shows up when we're not constant. Everybody understand that? Let's pray. We got a few thoughts for you. Father, I come tonight. Lord, you are great and wonderful. There's no doubt about that. And saving me is the biggest miracle that I've ever saw. And I thank you that you saved me. But Lord, I'm thanking you for every day since then. All these years, you've been faithful. All these years you've poured out your blessings and gifts and benefits and love and mercy. Oh my, how much mercy you've given me, I can't even count. How much grace you've allowed my way, I can't even measure. And Lord, I sure thank you for that tonight. Now Lord, I want to give as you've given me this evening. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will burn it in our hearts so deep and brand it on the inside so deep that we're changed immediately and we're not the same never again. That when we leave here tonight, that we'll leave here with more responsibility. That we'll leave here with more conviction and more commitment to you over what we're supposed to do as a Christian. And Lord, I praise you for it all. Thank you for Christ, the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for an empty tomb. Thank you for living in me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm going to ask you now for help. I can't preach without you. I need your touch tonight. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. Well, we've just listened to the young people sing, and I told you this morning before we left that I had a message special just for this evening. And it had, didn't realize that the choir was singing till yesterday, but this message was already in the works. So it's got nothing to do with just the occasion. I'm not an occasional preacher. All right. Everybody understands that. But I want us to listen tonight. We've just heard the kids sing and we enjoy them to the max, do we not? I mean, they always, when they do bad, they're still great. You know, and I've never heard them do bad, but if they ever done bad, they still be great in everything they done. But what are we putting in them? There was something said this morning. Becky mentioned it. Corey Garrow, you know, used to be here, and he's up Clarksburg Way, Bridgeport Way, preaching all the time and winning souls and raising a family and doing these things. But Corey was one of the boys that rode the bus when I first come here. Man, it's been a long time ago now, over 21 years we done been here. You think about that. And he was down there jumping on the trampoline down there in Enon. And him and his brother, and they were several of them, maybe four or five of them, jumping on that trampoline. And I stopped in there and visited them and asked them if they'd come to church, come to Bible school. They did. And we had them there for a long time. That was some of our first young people that started. And Michael Slevin and Nick, little mean Nick. Philip, I'd have Philip tie him up in a ball, just wrap him up in a ball and take him home. He was so mean, he couldn't even stay at church. And Philip would wrap him up tight and hold him, and Garth would drive him home and just squeeze him till he got there and then just let him loose when he got home. I mean, that's how bad he was when he first started. They just mean his sin. But anyway, Corey said something. He made a video, come here, had something going off down to these, for his family, and he come in for that. And he come out and done a video, walked around the church, done a video, a great testimony of the church, great testimony of his salvation. Go to Facebook, look up Corey Garrow. It'll be worth your time to do that and to watch the video. Cheryl showed to me. It was really good, really encouraging to us. Ask us not to quit. Ask us to keep running the buses, to keep getting the kids. But he said something that really stuck in my mind, even as I was already working on the message. And he said something about the time that was invested in him. The things that was invested. And he started naming the people that had invested some time. And he named Jerry, he named Uncle Tom, Brother Rick, boy. I mean, he started going down the line, naming the men that took time and invested in him. To now he's married, got a family, he's preaching, winning souls. He does great. All right, doing great things for the Lord. He's not perfect, but he does great. And but he kept talking about the time that was invested, the time that was invested. And I wonder what we're really investing. I wonder what we're really investing in one another. I wonder what, even though we give time in messages, we give time in Bible studies and things like that, but I wonder what we're really getting in. What we're really getting inside of you this evening. Not just the young people, but you. And it concerns me when I see people that come to church for years and then they just quit everything. I wonder what did we miss? What did we not get in there? When I see you fail, and we all fail, but when I see you fail to the point that you're out. Now, there's one thing to fall. Anybody can fall. Everybody falls. But to fall out, then that concerns me that there's something messed up, that something didn't get in there enough. What's going to happen when hard times come? When we can't stick in there and stay in there when things are good. And can I tell you, we've had death. That's the worst thing that's happened, some sickness and death, and that's major. It is. But when nobody's persecuted, nobody's been thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, none of us are having to hide the worship, we really don't know what a hard time is. None of us are going hungry. None of us are living under a rock. We all got good houses. None of us are walking to church. We all got more than one vehicle. None of us have hard times, but yet it seems like anything throws us out. That anything knocks us down. That we can't handle. They sing about the eye of the storm that he's there, but we can't handle a little blowing wind. It's not the storm, but man, if a storm comes, we're going to panic. I wonder how many people down on the coast is panicking over Hurricane Aaron that's not going to hit. Now, I know it's 600 miles across. That's a pretty good sized storm. And they allow that if it does hit, it's going to be the worst thing it ever did hit. It's already Category 5 and ain't even close to land. That thing could get bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, that's going to be awful if that does that. But can I tell you, I live in West Virginia. I'm not probably going to leave no sleep over tonight. It probably won't affect me. Are you following me? It's probably not. I doubt I get any wind off of it at Mount Lookout. I doubt very soon. I may get a little bit. I doubt very seriously if I'll get it. But there's people in Nebraska that's scared that there's a storm coming to South Carolina that's going to miss it by 600 miles. I guarantee you there's somebody that lives plumb in the Midwest that's already panicked because there's going to be a storm coming. Now you say, well, that don't make sense. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It don't make sense with what we have in us. With the Christ that's in us and the power of God that's in us and the things that we have, we ought to be further than we are. And I wonder what we're leaving these. What we're leaving. So we're going to preach a double message tonight. It's going to be some to the kids. Now I want y'all to listen to me and not talk. And I want y'all to pay attention. I want y'all to listen. I want the young people to listen to me tonight. And I want you to listen close. And then I want all the parents of the kids to listen. And then I want all the grandparents, and then I want everybody in the church to listen because of the seriousness of the time. Oh, wait, we all right? Yeah. Let's look in Daniel chapter 1. This has been preached to kids down through the years, and we're going to preach it again tonight. Daniel chapter 1. But I want us to look at a verse that we don't say much about. Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, it says, children in whom was no blemish. Children in whom was no blemish. Hey guys, any blemishes in y'all? Y'all got any blemishes? How come you do? How come you do? It says here they were some children without no blemishes. How about you girls? Y'all got any blemishes? Y'all got any blemishes? How about over here? Any of you kids, y'all got any blemishes? Here it said there's some children that didn't have any. How come they're different? They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have an indwelling Holy Spirit. They never even had a Baptist church. Never had a Sunday school. Hadn't been started yet. Didn't have a bus. Didn't have cottage prayer meeting. Didn't have church prayer meeting. They didn't have nothing but God. And it says children in whom was no blemish. Is that what it says or not? Y'all read with me? But well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning. Now, hey boys, these are 14-year-old guys. These are 14 and 15-year-old boys. These ain't old men. These are 15-year-old young men, young boys. And it says here, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, that's what's said of who? Well, let's look on. Verse 5 says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now that's their given names. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their given names. We know them as Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. See, the king, who is a type of the devil, give them an ungodly name. And Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego are ungodly names. And them names are names that are of the gods of the Babylonians. But their given name is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they even changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar. They changed their name. See, what I want to make you, I'm sure you understand, there's always an enemy out there that wants to change you and change who you are and change who everybody sees you as. Always. Always. They changed these boys' names. Well, they something that they had something that others didn't have. We read about it in chapter 1, verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. I wonder how many of you young men, y'all look at me, how many of you young men scattered around the church, are y'all ready? Have you purposed in your heart yet? Some of you's 14, 15, 16, 17. Have y'all done any purposing yet? You say, well, I ain't old enough. Well, they are. Where does the difference come in? When do you start serving God and stop serving God? When do you start commitments and stop commitments? When does all this take place? Do we wait and let them all sow their wild oats? Do we let them all just go and then when they get old, hope they come back? We're already seeing that the average is after they turn 18, we don't even see them no more. And they're in this church being taught and youth choir and Bible camp and everything else. And when they're 18, they're gone. There's a problem. So when does all this start? Well, it started here before these boys got in Babylon. Somewhere it started before they was ever kidnapped and taken to a foreign country. So they must have been younger than 14 or 15. Does everybody follow me tonight? Well, see, it wasn't just Daniel. He purposed in his heart, I'm not going to go y'all's way. I'm not going your way. Well, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, they got in there with him. They hung right in there with old Daniel. They hung in there enough that we know after Daniel got old, he didn't hurt them lions when they threw him in the lion's den. They threw him in there and he told the king, I ain't done no hurt. I ain't hurt them. They're all right. Everybody's okay down. I didn't hurt them lions. That's what it says. Over in chapter 3, here comes them three boys, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, and here they call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down around verse 14. He said, wait a minute, you don't serve my gods. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. You don't serve my gods nor worship the gold image which I've set up. Now, if you be ready, that what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well, but you worship not, and you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This is what they answered. Yeah. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this manner. In other words, we're not mixing words here. We're going to let you understand. We're going to say it plain. That's what them boys said. We're going to say it plain. We're not careful. We're not going to beat around the bush. Here's the way it is, O king. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I just wonder how many young men we have here tonight that's 13, 14, 15 years old, that's got enough backbone to stand up and say, burn me if you will, I'm not going to back up. Right. We got any? I wonder how many 20-year-old we got. I wonder how many 30-year-olds. I'm wondering how many 50-year-olds we got. Now, I ain't backing up. Ain't no give here. No give in me. If he delivers me, wonderful. If he don't, so be it. Huh? Is that what they said? Does anybody follow me? You say, well, that's too tough. It ain't tough enough. It ain't plain enough. Because we've done wasted years. We've done wasted generations. We've wasted generations that grandparents can't even stand when hard times come. How are the grandkids going to stand? We still okay? Think about it. Well, we think about, wait a minute now. That's just the boys. Well, they some girls in there. They some girls in there. Let's see if we can find them, girls. Y'all ready? How about Luke chapter 1, girls? All you young girls, look at me. How many of you is 13? Hold your hand up. How many girls are 13 or above? Hold your hand up. All right, hold them up there. Hold them up there. Come on, don't be ashamed of it. All right, let's see if we can find you. They allowed Mary, the mother of Jesus, around 13, 14 when she got espoused to Joseph. Huh? She got engaged. That was them family marriage things, you know. Look here in Luke chapter 1. Let's look at verse 30. And the angel said unto her, speaking to Mary, said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." How many of you young girls have done found favor with God? How many of y'all have done already? You've already found favor. You're not married. You're still in home. No job, no responsibility, but you found favor with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
How many of you done that? Is that too hard on them, mom and dad? Am I too hard on your kids? Huh? When are you supposed to find favor? How many boyfriends you going to have before you find favor? How many marriages you going to have before you found favor? How many kids you going to have out of wedlock before you find favor? I'm talking about, I'm asking you tonight, all them kids was up here. Y'all scattered through the church. What I should have done was left you in the choir and preached to you. Might even just have you come back in the choir and so I'm preached to you. Have you found favor yet? It says here that Mary did. It says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus." Well, you go on down there. I think Marcus mentioned this over at the youth camp when he said there's almost a whole chapter of her praising the Lord and giving glory to God because she had found favor and he done a miraculous work in her that she was going to give birth to God in the flesh. You girls found favor yet? You boys got any backbone yet? My Papa Burris used to tell me, we'd be working, I'd stretch it, "What's wrong?" I'd say, "Man, you ain't got no back. You ain't got no back yet. You get a back when you're 40, you ain't got no gristle." That's what he would tell me. I'd work like a dog. I mean, done everything but pull a plow. He'd work you like a dog. "Hey, you ain't got no back. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Get up. Huh? Are you hearing me? That's where I get some of that, I reckon. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Got your arm cut off, two legs broke, back broke. You'll be all right tomorrow. Right? Are you listening to me? I'm wondering, where is it at? Where is it at? Me and Mooney was talking the other day. We got a generation of people. You know what the cure is now? You feel bad to go to bed. "Oh, well, my head hurts. I'm going to go to bed." Work it out. Y'all ain't know I had a stroke back in May. After revival, I had a little stroke. Another little stroke. I had weed eating and grass cutting to do, and I had a stroke. My mouth drawled, my eye drawled, and having trouble getting this arm going. And Cheryl said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I've got work to do. Work it out." So I got to where I could hold my balance, and I went and got the weed eater, and I weed eated for 2 hours. Don't tell me you can't work a stroke off. I worked it off. Brenda, all over, "You ain't moving too fast." I said, "No, I ain't." I ain't moving very fast at all. Then I got on the ride more for 4 hours. Just work it out. They say, well, that's stupid. Yeah, I know it is. I know it's stupid. I know it's stupid. The other day, when I was in the hospital on Sunday, y'all don't know, but I had done to give my word that I would go machine a part for them over at the plant. I went and worked 10 hours over at the machine shop the next morning after I got out of the hospital. You just do what you got to do. But it's because of commitment and word. Now, what I'm telling you, I'm not trying to brag on me. I'm just telling you that we've missed something along the way that the cure is to do nothing. The cure is to lay down. The cure is to quit. The cure is to, we'll let somebody else do it. That's the cure anymore. But that's not the cure. Are you following me tonight? The cure is to reach down and get a hold of something that God's put in there and go on, because there's more at stake than the way you feel or the pain you go through. There's more at stake than anything tonight. And I wonder about you young girls. Y'all got what it takes? How about you turn over to Esther? Now there's a lot of controversy on how old Esther was, and some say she was older, but to be a young virgin, to be kidnapped. All right, now you understand that these were not raised in a palace like Daniel and the three Hebrew children. They wasn't raised in the palace. They were kidnapped. They were not from there. They was taken from their home to a foreign country and being made and forced to do things that probably was ungodly as could be. And they said, nope, we only go so far. Young boys, we only go so far. Boys, 13, 14, we only go so far. Huh? Girls finding favor, that God would see a girl that found favor, said, oh, that's the one that I'm going to have the Holy Spirit go in and conceive and carry God in the flesh. Yeah. Huh? How about Esther? In Esther chapter 4, verse 15, said, go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and either eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. What she said was this, what Esther said was this, listen, they made me, I'm going to be the king's wife. I've not been with him yet because he's a whoremonger and there's all kinds of wives and concubines and so one of these days they'll have to put me in there. I'm still a queen, but we've not been together. We've not slept together. Nothing's happened. And if I go in there, it's again the law. And if I go in there where he's at, if he don't give me the right sign, I am to die, be put to death. I'm just a young girl. I'm just a young girl. What am I going to do? Well, if I perish, I perish. Because there's more at stake. And a young girl, 13, 14 years old, went in and God showed favor and the king gave her the right sign and the people were saved. We know the story of Mordecai and Haman. And all because of Esther, a young girl. I wonder, do y'all have it in you to do that? Do you girls have it in you to do that at 13 and 14? Does any of you ladies have it in you to do that? Some of you say, well, I got to clean my house first. I have to feed my dog first. Wait a minute. I ain't got my makeup on. I can't. No, if I perish, I perish. I'm wondering, when you read your Bible, do you know it's true? Do you know that this is how people live for God? And they didn't have a Bible. And they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. That they went simply by faith. No scripture. Other than Genesis and the first 5 books of the Bible. They had to go to the temple to get that. Are you listening to me tonight? Somewhere something was done that was far more than we realize tonight. I think of Mary, I think of Esther. How about Eunice? Nobody talks much about Eunice. We talk about Timothy, and we said real fast to his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. But Eunice was stuck there in the middle. But there was something about her. They say that Eunice had an unsaved husband, that Timothy's daddy wasn't a Christian, that she was a converted Jew, that she was a Christian, and Lois, her mother, was a converted Jew. That's what history has it. I don't know. That's what they say, so I reckon that's true. But who told her? Who told her to go ahead and teach your kids?
Right.
Who told her? The New Testament hadn't been written yet. Right. It was being written then. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? I'm saying when there's something that's not in where it's supposed to be. I'm worried about these kids. I'm worried about the ones, the 45 that was saved over at the youth camp. I'm worried about the kids that from other churches, I don't know what they're going through. I'm worried about the kids that come to me crying and says, can we stay another week? I don't want to go home. It's not good at home. I don't want to see that. Listen, I worry about them kids. I worry about you that's here all the time. I worry about you when you get out of the cars with your parents. I worry about you when you sing in a choir. I worry about you when you're quoting your scripture. I'm concerned about you because I don't know if you got enough in you to do right when hard times come. I don't know if you got it. I don't know if your parents got it. I don't know if all the grandparents got it. When tough time comes. If somebody comes in here tonight and says, I'm going to kill all the Christians, you going to shoot him or are you going to stand there and say, shoot away? I'm not going to shoot him. That's why I don't carry a gun, because I'd be a murderer. Because I'd probably shoot a lot of people. Didn't need shot. So I don't carry a gun no more. I quit carrying a gun. Huh? I figured I was big enough. If I have to have a gun, I reckon I'll just get whooped every. Are you listening to what I'm saying tonight? Do we got enough to stand? I mean, undoubtedly we ain't got much to stand. We let the school teach anything you want to teach. Undoubtedly we ain't got much to stand. We let the town square off the city block and serve our liquor on Main Street. I don't know if we got much in us. We don't say much about the tractor bar down there running the parades and the churches around in town supporting it. That's why I wonder about these kids. I wonder if they got enough in them. Jonathan stands and sings A Little Boy in His Basket. Ain't that a wonderful song?
Yes, sir.
When he sings That Little Boy in His Basket, I can see a little boy running home. I can see the whole story, the whole account. When Jonathan sings that, it all comes alive to me. And then I picture myself, who would have thought, now I'm not no singer, but who'd have thought that, and Garth and some of y'all, you even had them told you, who's your pastor? Mark said, no, Mark Secrets ain't your pastor. You had them tell you that down in Lowe's. They want to call you out for lying. Ain't no way Mark's your preacher. But can I tell you, I was a little boy with a basket. Jesus made something of. Huh? But can I tell you, I didn't pack my lunch. Somebody else packed my lunch. Somebody else packed that boy's lunch. That boy didn't pack his own lunch. There was somebody packing his lunch, and he went back and he went there with a lunch already packed because somebody was putting something in him. I'm wondering tonight what we're really putting in, the ones that's behind us, the ones that's coming along. I'm wondering what we're really getting in them.
That's good preaching.
Are we still okay?
Yeah.
I'm wondering. Huh? How about we turn over to Deuteronomy? We'll give you the gist of the message. The gist of the message. Kids, young guys, mighty men. Huh? I wonder how mighty we are. I wonder. 13, 14. What's on your mind? What's on your mind of a day? We got 12. We got, what we got? We got 9, 12, 14, 13, 13, 14, 13. Almost 13 or almost 14? Almost 13. What we got here? 14? 16? Heavenly sunlight. What we got? 16. We got 16, 14. Where's Levi? Running the sound. All right. Levi. How old are you, boy? 15? 16? You driving? Huh? Amazing. Titus. Titus, everybody needs to whoop Titus tonight. Yesterday was his birthday, and he wanted to wait till the day. He didn't want his birthday whooped until tonight, he said. That's what he asked me. That's what he said. He said, I'll wait till tonight. So everybody can whoop him tonight. He's 14. Everybody, that'd be a lot. Everybody just give him 5, 6 licks. That'd be plenty. Okay. How's that, old buddy? Huh? How's that? 14. Hey, are y'all ready? Are y'all ready to stand in the fire? You ready to go in the lion's den? Are you ready to go ahead regardless of what everybody says? And I'm going to go ahead and pray 3 times a day. And I'm going to do it from the time I'm a child. So when I'm old, it's just natural.
Right.
I wonder how many old people we have that still pray 3 times a day. That we stop everything and just go spend an hour or so with God. 3 times a day. Do we still do that? Or are we too busy? Because we have other commitments. Well, there's nothing wrong with commitments, but our problem. Wait a minute. What's turned around? I'm asking tonight, what's going to go on with them?
Right.
I worry. I believe it. I got good kids. I love Philip and Marcus. I love them. I love their wives. And I trust them. But I worry about Landon and Hannah. And I worry about Levi and Micah and Lainey and Wesley. I really worry about Leslie. I always tease him. He'll be in jail by the time he's 13. And then Livy, I worry about him. And they got good parents. They're in church all the time. But I worry about them. Well, I should.
Right.
To make sure I'm getting in them what they're supposed to be in them. I worry about your kids.
Right.
They're not bad kids. All them kids, they're a lot better kids than what I was growing up. They're doing a lot more for the Lord than I ever did growing up. They're giving a lot more than I ever gave. They learn a lot more than I ever learned. Huh? And they're worth something tonight. But wait a minute, so is their parents. See, some of y'all's kids was up there. Y'all was our kids that was used to be. See, when you done been here over 21 years, there's a lot of you that was kids when you come here. Listen, Trista, you was one of my young people years ago. You was one of my young people. You got grandbabies. That don't make sense. I think of you and Amy now when y'all's here on Sunday morning together. I think about me and Cheryl picking you up and carrying you to church. Carrying you to Bible school, letting you sing, doing everything, stay at the house, and things wasn't good at home. Huh? But you was worth it. You was worth it. Hey, you don't know when I tell you I need you to sing. I don't care what, if you sung Yankee Doodle, I just need you to sit at the piano and know that the work wasn't in vain. That's what I need you to do. Are you hearing me? I've done watched the kids. Listen, I know Greg and Maria before they ever had eyes one for another. Uh-huh. First time I met Matt Gurry, he was in a carrier.
Yeah.
He's got kids. Got his own business. He was in a carrier. That don't even make sense. Huh?
Yeah.
Are you hearing me tonight? This ain't a game to me. This ain't a game. It ain't a game to God. It's not a game when I look at this Bible and I see what the young people did. But there's a key to it all. And look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. Well, I know. Let's look at verse 7. Let's read verse 7. It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That's pretty good. Sums up the day, don't it? "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Ain't that good? But that's not the key. That's not the key. The key's in verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Not the heart of the kid. Not the heart of the kid. That ain't what it says. It says, because what's in your heart is what's going to be taught to kids. Right. Amen. Right. Everybody follow me tonight? Is that not what it says? It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently." Teach them what? What's in your heart. I'm wanting to know tonight, what are we giving them? What are we giving them? What are we giving them tonight? When this bunch grows up, will there be others to follow? There won't be if we don't get them. Now, I'm not saying this sarcastically. I'm not throwing no stones at nobody, because this is my job as well as anybody's. But if y'all quit having kids, we'll quit having young people. Can I say that again? Because I don't know that you understood it. If y'all quit having kids, we'll quit having young people. And then we'll all be old. And we'll look around and wonder, why don't we have kids at our church? They make any sense? See, the little boy in the basket, he didn't pack his lunch. See, there was something in Daniel when he was kidnapped. He didn't get that. Listen, Daniel never got that strength after he was kidnapped. He had it before. Where'd it come from? Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, they never got that gumption that we're not careful about this king. No, we're going to say this and we're not being careful. We want you to understand that they didn't get that in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. They had something when they got there. But then, wait a minute, they wasn't but 13, 14, 15. Where did Esther get this? Esther wasn't born in a palace. Esther had something that was put in her somewhere before. That when she seen her people perishing, she said, "If I perish, I perish." Must have been the generation before. Don't you allow it was moms and dads? Don't you allow it was papa and mamas? Don't you allow maybe it was neighbors, uncles and aunts? Are you following me tonight?
Yep.
I want to know what we're putting in these kids.
Right.
I want to know the time that we're investing. Is it just time we're investing? Is it just time that we feel like we're sacrificing in a Sunday school hour or on a bus? Is that all we're doing? Is just sacrificing a week at camp? We talk about how hot it was. Can I tell you, if we wasn't at camp, the temperature didn't change. It was the same temperature at my house as it was camp. Can I tell you, for my house, there was not much more sleep if I wasn't at camp, if I had been at camp. Is that all we're given? What are we giving them at home? What taught Daniel and them three Hebrew boys and Esther? Well, what made Mary so clean that she found favor? Who taught her to be clean? Yeah. Who saw to it that she was clean? The maid? I doubt it was the maid. They didn't have two nickels to rub together. Probably mom. Probably dad. Mom and dad making sure that Mary was raised clean. I'm here asking you tonight on behalf of the children. Hey, it's more than just them having it. We always preach it to the kids. Always, you got to do it. Yeah, but there's got to be something put in them or they can't do it. Now they got a Bible. Now they get saved. They got the Holy Ghost in their heart. Now they have all the teaching, all the opportunities. But these guys didn't have it. They were kidnapped. The Daniel and the three of your children were kidnapped. Esther was kidnapped.
Yep. Right.
Eunice was raised in a idol home. Esther was kidnapped. Mary was just raised as a Jew, following the law without God, in a sense. Somebody had to put something in them. Been trying to help these men that decided to preach. It's going to matter what I put in you. It's going to matter what I put in you. I can't make you listen. I can't make you do it. I can't make you do it. There's some things I can make you not do. But there's some things I can't make you do. It's going to have to be in your heart. Are y'all following me tonight? I'm not trying to be a negative nanny here, okay? I'm wanting you to understand somewhere we're going to have to teach them to stand against the world. I'm going to ask you now, parents, are you teaching your children to stand in the king's palace? What's the priority that you're teaching your children? What is the priority? Now, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm headed. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. When you put sports, that they got to make a choice between sports and God, you're wrong. You're not having a testimony for God if they got to miss the house of God to play their sports. Right? You believe it or not, you agree with it or not, it don't matter. My testimony, because I don't drink, I don't have that sitting on a bar stool beside the ones that are. I don't go in the beer joint to start with. But it's not just sports. It's the priority of life. And are we standing against the world? Do we monitor what they listen to? Do we allow them? Listen to me tonight. Do we allow our children to listen to trashy worldly music? Country or rock and roll or some of that Taylor Swift trash and all that stuff. And all. Do we allow that? Do we allow that? If we allow that and your children go to hell, they'll probably be better off than living with you. Boy, that was a dud. But every Christian should have hollered, amen, preacher, that's right. But we can't do it because we still listen to it. You say, Mark, you're always against sports. No, I'm not. Let me tell you what I'm against. I'm against anything that takes you away from church. Don't care what it is.
Amen.
Don't matter what it is. I'm against anything that takes you away from the Bible, anything that takes you away from prayer, anything that takes you from pure living, I'm against it. If it comes in before your eyes or in your ears, I'm against it. I don't care whether it's you, my kids, my family, your family. It don't matter. I'm not going to back it. I'll never back it. I'll never stand for it. I'll preach against it till the day I die because I'm not going to be accountable for not telling you. Because it's right. But what are we going to put in these kids? I looked at them, the little ones. I looked at Dalton and Famous Amos and Lincoln and all them standing right here. Huh? I looked at all these little ones over here. The tiny ones, you can't even see smiling. They can't even see over the pew. What are you going to do? I look back there and see the ones. They ain't going to have but a couple more years in here. We're not going to have them but a couple more years. And they're going to make a decision. They're going to find them a guy or they're going to find them a woman. And they're going to get married. And I wonder, will they find a spiritual one? See, girls, it's not just finding a Christian. It's finding a spiritual Christian. Boys, it ain't just finding a girl that says she's a Christian, but a spiritual girl. I'm just wondering. Y'all don't mind if I wonder, do you? This thing's been on my heart, been on my mind. I watch the kids at camp. I watch you. I watch your life. I watch how much you miss church. I know when you're at church and when you ain't. I know how much church you miss. I usually know why. Keep on. Keep on. It's going to catch you. It's going to catch you. Here we are in the middle of August. How many Sundays you done missed? How many Sunday mornings you done missed? How many Bible studies? If you missed on Sunday morning, you've done missed all kinds of help. How many Sunday nights have you missed? How many Wednesday nights have you missed? Your children are watching. Why did you miss? Why did you miss? Why did you miss? I'm just asking. I'm just telling you that the only thing we're going to put in our kids is what's in our heart. That's what the Scripture says. The only thing we're going to put in our kids is what's in our heart. Because they're not going to fall for foolishness. They're not going to fall for a bunch of things that ain't true. Because they already see it. They've already got their ideas. See, they've already heard your conversation behind the bedroom door. They've done heard your conversation over here with your neighbors. They've done heard your conversation when you got off on the phone from talking to your boss. They've done heard all that. Then they say, and have a blessed day. After you just blessed them out. You know? Am I right or wrong? You tell me. And then we're going to wonder, preacher, pray for my kids. Preacher, can you go see my son? Can you go see my daughter? Hey, can you have Rick Vance and Tim go up there to the jail and request to see him come? Is that the only reason we support the jail ministry? So our kids can have something when they fail? I'm just asking tonight, the only thing we're going to put in them is what's in our heart. Now I believe, guys, that you need to have a backbone. But I didn't have one. I just done what I was allowed to do. You know that? I played in the world because I was allowed to. Went places, didn't have no business going because I was allowed to. Listen to stuff I had no business listening to because I was allowed to. I didn't have the backbone, so I'm not preaching y'all. I'm preaching to your parents. I'm preaching to the grandparents. Father, help us. It's all I know to do, Lord, ask for help. Hold on, what else to do? Lord, somewhere we're going to have to make sure what we're invested in these kids is going to have to come from our heart. But Lord, our heart ain't right. Lord, we ain't sold out to you. Why would we think our kids will be when we ain't? God, help us tonight. I'm asking you to speak to our heart. I can't. Lord, I'm a mess myself. Forgive me, oh God. What are we putting in these kids? They were children without blemish. But they were children without blemish before they got there. What have we done? Oh God, I ask, what have we done? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What about it tonight? She'll go to the piano. Trista, just play. Just play something. We ain't going to sing. God spoke to you tonight. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm just asking questions. I'm not upset with nobody. I'm just laying things out plain. I don't know how else to do it. I look at your kids. I'm as responsible for your kids as you are. Made a statement to the parents and y'all as a church that when the kids come through that yellow gate at the camp, that they belong to me. Man, that's been wearing me out. They belong to me. What am I giving your kids? What am I laying out in your kids tonight? If your kids are mine, what am I doing? I'm just asking tonight. I'm just asking. I believe they're worth it. I believe every one of them's worth it. I'm not against what they do. I'm not against how you raise your kids. Other than I'm against wrong. I'm against God getting seconds. I'm against God getting seconds in their life and your life. I'm against whatever keeps you out of church. Whatever keeps you from being spiritual. Whatever keeps you from being right with God. I'm against that. That's what I'm against. I'm against the enemy that's destroying your mind, that's destroying your life. I'm against the enemy that's got so many toys and trinkets in front of you. I'm against the hooks that's in the bait that he keeps running in front of you. I'm against that. I'm not against you. I'm for you tonight. Listen, I'm for every one of you tonight. But I'm against the wrong. I'm against my wrong. I'm against your wrong. And I just believe them to be worth more than that. All these kids of all ages. There are church now. Take your kids away. We don't have a church. Take the kids away. What will we do without our children? We're only going to give them what's in our heart. We're only going to give them what's in our heart.
Thank you.